This evening we have two Bible readings, the first one from Revelations chapter 13, the first 10 verses. Revelations 13, the first beast. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power, and his throne, and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. They worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for endurance and faith of the saints. We then turn over to Daniel chapter 7, the first 7 verses. Daniel's vision of the four beasts. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then, as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." This is the word of our Lord.
Our text verse is verse 3. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And the topic this evening is the healing of the wound of the beast. The healing of the wound of the beast. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are living in interesting times. times where we see how the scriptures are coming in fulfillment. This evening, the sermon is not to scare you or to shock you, but to call us, God's people, His church, to endure, to hold on to our faith, and to continue to glorify the King and head of our church, our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 13 describes the one world government, the beast, that will rise from the sea. This is an anti-Christian government. And the vision of the beast out of the sea is God describing and warning His church of all times what is about to come. There will be a one world government again that will rule in all aspects of life, political, cultural, and it will be international. And so the vision in Revelation 13 continued with the vision Daniel saw in chapter 7. The first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions while on his bed. And Daniel described, "I saw my vision by night, and the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea." He described four beasts, all different from one another. First like a lion with eagle wings. And so it continues with a second beast, like a bear, one like a leopard, the beast had four heads, then a fourth beast, with great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, stamp what was left with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts. And each one of these beasts came out of the sea. That had a geographical connection to the Mediterranean Sea. And to the Jewish people, the sea was both dangerous and mysterious, a restless element, but not beyond the Lord's power to tame. It was also an image to describe the peoples of this world. Revelation 17 verse 5, the angel gave John an explanation. An angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." And all these beasts came out from the sea, the multitude and the nations. And so Daniel saw empires that came from the sea, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and a terrible beast with four heads and 10 horns. And so Daniel described four world governments that ruled all over the world. First, it was the old Babylonian government, the Assyrian world government, with its capital Nineveh, who captured the 10 tribes of Israel. Then it was the new Babylonian government of Nebuchadnezzar, who took Judah and Benjamin in exile, and the Persian world government. What we talked about in Nehemiah. And so all these governments returned in Revelation 13, the vision the Lord gave John on the island Patmos, as the same satanic government. And Revelation 13 teaches about one beast with seven heads. And John explained that the four beasts that Daniel saw will be combined in seven great one world governments. After the four beasts, there would also be the Greek Macedonian government with its general Alexander the Great. The sixth would be the Roman world government in the time of the Bible, ruled in the time of the New Testament. And if you think back of Rome, Rome was a one world government who did not have a problem if you obeyed the Roman Empire. You were even allowed to serve your idols together with emperor worship. But Christians and Jews were despised, seen as dangerous. And so the Roman emperor had legal power to rule Rome's religious, civil, military affairs that ruled all over the world, with a Senate acting as an advisory body. An emperor even had control over life and death, slaves or aliens. And the Christian had a challenging time. That was also the time of John. And we'll see that in next week's sermon with Emperor Nero. He's number 666. Rome indulged in every pleasure and immorality, promiscuous sexual behavior, orgies. Emperors such as Tiberius kept groups of young boys for his pleasure. Nero had a male slave as his wife. And there was a total decline in morals of the Roman government. Vulgar songs, lewd acts, sexual promiscuity, lewd acts where people, and especially Christians, were tortured in the arena, thrown to wild beasts. And it was all to amuse the mob. Forced prostitution, widespread gambling. And that was Rome, the world of the last world, one world government. Everything was allowed. But for a Christian, above all, the Lord, these were abominations and terrible times. The beast Rome was described in the New Testament, and the beast persecuted the New Testament church. And now John is telling us that the last beast is about to come. In the Lord's time, when the Lord will this. And this seventh beast will be the most terrible of all, will be the final one that will rule over the world and its nations. Revelation 13 verse 3, one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. We can ask what and who gave this mortal wound. In the New Testament, the sword is the image of Christ's proclamation of the gospel. The sword is also an image of the word. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that gave the last one world government the mortal wound. Jesus himself, who is called the Word and the Truth, John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And it was God's work. His people were at work. His gospel was proclaimed and people came to faith. Acts 2 verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. And the church grew in full strength. They was without physical weapons, but armed with the double-edged sword of Christ. They entered a hateful and hostile world. They were armed with their faith in Jesus, the crucified, and they held in their hands the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Ephesians 6 verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with the powerful two-edged sword, they fought their way into the palaces of kings. The Apostle Paul, even to the strongest strongholds of Satan. Their mouths' prison doors were open. If you think back of Peter, beasts were facing the arena and they died. But the beast was conquered when the Emperor Constantine became a Christian. And Satan was given a mortal wound through the gospel. Rome's power was broken. Temples were destroyed all over the world. And the heathen temples made place for God's church. It was now the time for the gospel. And the gospel went to all nations over the earth. Even in the dark continent of Africa, God's word was proclaimed. In Australia, and the church grew in full strength. Salvation in Jesus was proclaimed up to this day. And Satan's wound was a mortal wound. could not yield to become a world government again. Many dictators in history have tried. You can think of Napoleon, of Hitler, Stalin, but all failed. Now John was giving some bad news. The wound on the beast's head is healed. The last world government will rise again. The wound was healed. The seventh and final world government will rule the earth again. And the last beast will come from the sea, and the whole earth will marvel as they follow the beast. They will worship the dragon. This is Satan, as he had given authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? Beloved, there are plans to return to a world government already. A globalist agenda. And what was called a conspiracy theory not so long ago is now openly propagated by the World Economic Forum at Davos, which is also called the Great Reset. And if you want to know more, you can listen to the podcast of the Australian Christian Lobby about the Great Reset that is planned by this World Economic Forum. You can see their agenda, their attendees, their world leaders. They met at Davos, Switzerland. Their biggest priority is to accelerate progress and the impact of the forum to take global challenges. And I've read it and copied that from their website, from COVID and climate change to education and global technology. To heal the world, they said. And if you read this, you will see how far developed and open the plans for a world government is propagated. You will also understand our modern culture. When the one world government rules, it will be like Rome again. The individual won't have a voice anymore, and he or she will be cancelled if their opinion is different from the world. And Christians are entering, according to John, a very uncertain time. I also have preached about this, if you can remember, my series about the letters of Peter, where we learned in those letters, as followers of Jesus, we believe what we believe is no longer seen as good news, but really bad news, even dangerous news. Because we are viewed as unloving and divisive, bigoted and intolerant, we are feeling the pressure. We are being marginalized, ostracized, and stigmatized. Very similar than the original recipients of 1 Peter. And if you add today the celebration of promiscuity, gambling, abortions, euthanasia, the attack on Christian schools, this pandemic, you will realize how dangerous the times have become. The Lord's Day have become just another day. Idols of money and sport are worshipped. And unfortunately, we read in Revelation 13 that even church attendees will follow the beast. And churches want to change according to the popular opinion, don't want to offend. And great churches will conform to this world and to feelings. And so the Apostle Paul warned in Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And after 2 centuries, the church is standing again in front of the prospect of a one world government. This will be the last Babylon. Community where there will be no place anymore for God and his church. The wound has healed, and the people marvel as they follow the beast. There's even more bad news. The beast will govern for 42 months. Revelation 11, 12, and 13. 3.5 years. It will blaspheme God, his name and his dwelling, and also it was allowed to make war on the saints and conquer them. Verse 7 is telling us about the war against the believers. Beast will conquer them. We also read about this in the book of Revelation chapter 11 already, where the two witnesses' bodies will lie in the street of Sodom and Egypt, but it will be for only a short time. 3.5 days, it will appear if Satan has conquered, but then the church will rise again. The Lord will breathe his life in them, and they will go to heaven while the enemies look on. Then our Lord Jesus Christ will return. Beloved, if you are shocked this evening, don't be. The book of Revelation is showing us what's going on in the world. He's warning us, calling people to repent to the Lord's grace. And he's telling us to be comforted. Behind everything is the Lord who is still in control. The beast can only do what he is allowed to do. Jesus already conquered the dragon. Revelation 12. Verse 8 of our Bible reading. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. That's our focus. The Lamb who was slain is our comfort. The Lamb is our Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. And he conquered the world, the devil, and redeemed us from eternal judgment. Those whose names were not written in the book of life followed the beast, but a believer stayed and endured in the Lord. We also read about the book of life in Revelation 20. The book of life is the testimony of God's love and grace through Jesus, where your deeds did not earn your salvation, but show if you had a relationship of faith with God through Jesus. Your works were the evidence if you were connected to Jesus, the true vine of John 15, through a true faith. Those who were governed by sin and disobedience and followed the beast, those who rejected Jesus as their Savior, Revelation 20, were thrown into the eternal fire, and in the same way, death was also destroyed. But with that judgment will also come God's eternal grace. There will be no more death, no more mourning for God's children. And the comfort this evening is that Jesus has already paid the cost for his children, that we belong to him. That's our only comfort in life and death. And the church is not a property of people. It belongs to Jesus. The beast and Babylon will be destroyed, Revelation 18. But the eternal city of Jerusalem will rise again, Revelation 21. So the question, what should we do? And John is telling us, endure. Peter said, stand firm in your faith. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to his words. Be faithful and be assured. We have a glorious future. The final word has already been written. Jesus is coming. He's King. And King in all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your words, ensuring your church in turbulent times that you are in control, that we shouldn't be amazed by all these things that we are seeing, that we know that you will keep your people, that the gates of hell will never overcome your church. But we are sealed. Our names are in the book of life, and it's through grace alone, and through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can confess we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our only comfort in life, that we will not fear but will wait with uplifted heads towards the great day of the Lord. That we can pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.